It's been said, the early bird might get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. It's difficult to understand, but God's timing is always perfect.
One of the most difficult lessons for us as believers is to understand that many times in life, God purposely uses the instrument of delay in responding to our cries for help.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. It doesn't always make sense when God says wait, but one of Jesus' greatest miracles never would have happened if he hadn't waited. Today, Pastor Charles Tapp challenges you to have the faith of Martha, as you'll hear in this story, to be able to say, even now.
One of the hardest lessons I've had to learn is recognizing that God's timing is not always my timing. And I believe that this is one of the main lessons that God wants us to extricate from this sermon I want to share with you this morning. For today, we will look at what I feel is one of the most inspirational stories in all of the Gospels. And I'm pretty confident that this story will help us to provide a jolt of hope and courage, just the right amount that many of us today are in desperate need of. Because I, like you, have come to the understanding, dear friends, that life is hard. And life squeezes every bit of hope and every bit of courage that you and I have been able to muster up. So from time to time, we need a word from God that will do nothing other than give us hope and give us encouragement. The story takes place in the Gospel of John. So I invite you to turn there with me now, John chapter 11. And the purpose, as you read John's Gospel, becomes very clear to you. John wants to get his audience to understand that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, that he is God with just skin on him. And John does this by recording 7 miracles that Jesus performed. And before we go any further, let me just pause and define what I mean by a miracle. But I have found what I believe is a very biblically based definition for the word miracle. And let's read this definition. A miracle is a less common kind of God's activity in which he arouses his people's awe and wonder and bears witness to himself. In other words, a miracle is an act that God performs not very often, but when he does, it leaves us with our eyes and our mouths wide open. But the other aspect of this miracle is that it's not merely a physical manifestation, but a miracle also has a component that gives us a spiritual revelation into who God is and what he has come to give mankind. So whether it was Jesus performing the miracle at the wedding of Cana where he took water and turned it into wine, or in John chapter 9 where Jesus takes the man who was blind and gives him sight. Whatever miracle Jesus performed, it always had a twofold purpose. Not just the physical need that person may have had, but also to give his audience, his witnesses, a glimpse into who Jesus really was. And these were powerful signs indeed. But today I want to draw our attention to one of those 7 miracles that Jesus performed that's recorded right here in John's Gospel in John chapter 11. And I believe arguably that this is probably the most powerful of all the miracles that Jesus ever performed. But at the same time, when you read John chapter 11, you will probably get the sense, as did I, that it is also one of the most troubling miracles as well. How can something on one hand be so powerful, but on the other hand be so troubling? In John chapter 11, we have the story of Lazarus and God, through Jesus, raising him from the dead. And I'm going to invite you to just open your Bibles to John chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, I wanted you to read that for a reason. For what are your initial thoughts when you read that? Especially the latter part of that passage that we read. Jesus loved Mary, Jesus loved Martha, and he loved Lazarus. And when he discovered that Lazarus was sick, instead of running to Lazarus' aid, Jesus stayed back 2 more days. Let that just sink in for a moment, because too many times in Scripture, we just read it and we don't take time to really reflect. Let's take a moment and just dissect what just happened here. First of all, Jesus received word that one of his friends, not just any friend, but the one whom he loved, is sick. Number two, it had to be a serious illness, because Mary and Martha wouldn't have just told Jesus if Lazarus had just had a cold or the flu, right? So it had to be something that was unto death. Look at number three. Jesus downplays Lazarus' condition. Oh, it's really not unto death. And fourthly, he decides upon hearing this news that his good friend is sick, that he's going to delay his departure by 2 additional days. At first glance, one would think here that Jesus was being selfish, that he was so caught up in doing his own thing that he didn't have time for one of his friends. You know, I made a vow years ago in my first year of ministry that whenever I got a call from someone in the hospital and they were sick unto death, that I, no matter what I was doing, was going to drop that and run to the hospital. Why? Because one time I didn't. And I said to myself, well, I will visit them tomorrow. And they died that very night. But Jesus didn't. It almost appears here as if Jesus is being heartless. Why wouldn't he go see his friend that he loves so much? But here's the real thing that bothers me, that troubles me. I understand that in life, stuff happens. You can plan your week. Better yet, you can plan your day. You can plan a big picnic and you can buy all the food and all the trimmings and do all of that, but then it rains the very day. It was sunny the entire week, but when you wanted to have your thing, it rained. Stuff happens. But stuff didn't happen here, because Jesus didn't experience a delay. He manufactured a delay. That's a tough pill to swallow. One day I was flying out of BWI. I think I was, it wasn't me, it was Tiffany. Tiffany was flying out of BWI. She had a 7 o'clock flight. I hope you remember this. Now, if it's a 7 o'clock flight going to BWI, I live half an hour away, that means you got to get up at 4 o'clock. Half an hour to get ready, half an hour to drive there, so I can be there by what? 5 o'clock, 2 hours before the flight, right? So we get up to the counter exactly at 5 o'clock, and I'm feeling good. Because my wife can tell you, I cut it close a lot of times when it comes to going to the airport. I'll get there 40 minutes, a half an hour before the plane departs. As long as I get on, it doesn't matter with me. But this time, I felt good because I listened. Went up to the counter at 5 a.m. The woman says to me, "I'm sorry, but your flight has been delayed. Excuse you? What do you mean my flight has been delayed? I signed up for texting to let me know when my flight's delayed. And as soon as I said that, I felt something vibrate in my pocket. It was a text from Delta Airlines. If they had told me in advance, I could have stayed in my bed. But no, stuff happens. But here's what's so difficult to swallow about what Jesus did. Nothing happened with Jesus that caused the delay. Jesus created his own delay. I believe there's some airlines that create their own delays. And they'll give this excuse, well, due to mechanical difficulties, the flight has been delayed. Well, if you got mechanical difficulties, don't delay the flight, cancel the flight. Jesus manufactures a delay. Please keep your Bibles open to John 11. I want you to get this today. One of the most difficult lessons for us as believers, those whom God loves, is to understand that many times in life, God purposefully uses the instrument of delay in responding to our cries for help. Why in the world would he ever do anything like that? You know, we live in an age where information on any subject is at our fingertips. We can Google anything and get information about anything. But with all this knowledge that we have at our disposal, we still are clueless when it comes to understanding the mind and the ways of God. You can't Google the mind of God and get an understanding of why God does what he does the way he does it. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 2:7. He calls the mind of God a mystery that has been hidden. But what's a mystery? I thought a mystery was already something that was hidden. But when it comes to the mind of God, Paul is saying it's a mystery, something that's been hidden and hidden again. In other words, no matter how hard you try, you will never be able to understand why God does what he does. Things that we look at and we say, oh, that makes good sense to us. God goes, no, it doesn't. And the very things we look at and go, well, that makes sense. God goes, uh-uh. But the things that don't make sense, we go, that really doesn't make any sense. But God goes, it makes a whole lot of sense if you have the mind of God. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Exodus chapter 13, 17 to verse 18. Let me show you what I mean by this. This is when the children of Israel have just left Egypt, beginning their trek in the promised land. Verse 17, it says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. That makes sense, right? Although that was near. In other words, although that was the closest route, God said, lest perhaps the people change. Go to verse 18. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. In other words, they looked at it and said, well, this is the shortest distance. This is the way we should go. But God says, no, the shortest distance is not always the best distance. Sometimes God purposely takes us out of our way, takes us round about, because that's the best way. The best way with God, hear me, someone, is not the most direct way all the time. The best way with God may be through the Red Sea and not the shortest distance between two points, which means sometimes it's going to take you longer than you had planned. Sometimes it's going to be a tougher, more difficult, less desirable path. But God knows it's the right path and it's just the right time.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Pastor Charles Tapp and his message, Even Now. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Your gift reminds someone facing uncertainty that God is with them every step of the way.
I actually just got laid off, so I've just been making it a thing to listen on the way to work in the morning and don't let myself get down. It's been really helpful the past couple days.
When you make a gift of $250 or more, you not only jump in early with the WGTS year-end fundraiser,
you activate a separate gift, providing 10 meals for local families in need this holiday season.
Give today at WGTS919.com.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Pastor Charles Tapp. And today, Pastor Tapp is talking about why it doesn't always make sense when God says, wait, but that his timing is always perfect. Let's return to the rest of his message, Even Now.
You thought this was the best time in your life for this particular thing to happen. All of the stars had aligned. But God said, this is the worst time in your life for this to happen. So God manufactures a delay. And he says it's going to take you longer than you had planned. You see, you and I suffer from what the time management guru Charles Hummel refers to as the tyranny of the urgent. And the tyranny of the urgent is learning how to balance and deal with those things that are urgent, but not necessarily all that important. Because as you know, everything that may be urgent is not in what? Important. It may be urgent for you to answer and respond to those 100 emails that are piled up on your email account, but it may be important that you not take time and do that and spend time eating a meal with your family. When was the last time you did that? You see, God doesn't deal with the tyranny of the urgent. Because the things we think are urgent, God goes, that's not important. Because God has his own mind. A lot of things that may be urgent, things that are vying for our time, are not always the things of true importance. The call to visit Lazarus while he was sick, although it was urgent in the eyes of Mary and Martha, Jesus saw no urgency in that. You see, because Jesus wasn't really concerned about healing Lazarus. That's not what was important to Jesus. What was important to Jesus was not healing Lazarus, but it was raising Lazarus from the dead. That's what was important to Jesus. Because I've got something bigger in store. Because if he had just come and healed him of a physical malady, everyone would have applauded. But when you raise somebody from the dead, that's big news. And it was in Jesus' day as well. But as far as we're concerned, as the author James Dobson put it, Jesus always seems to arrive 4 days late. By the time Jesus got there, it had been 4 days since Lazarus' death. 2 days when they sent word to him, 2 days he waited before he came back, and he was only 2 miles away from them. In the Jewish culture, there was this thing where they felt you had to wait 4 days after a person died to really be sure that they were dead, that they were not in a coma. So Jesus made it sure that in everyone's mind, Lazarus is not in a coma, but Lazarus is dead. Sometimes God shows up in our lives 4 days late. And it's not because he doesn't care, but it's because God has a greater will to be performed. Because to him, the urgency is not in answering the prayer. The urgency is getting us to see who he is and helping us to grow in the process. He does as good as say, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to prevent the trouble. For now that it is come. It will teach you to believe in me. How many of you know that when you're in pain, it's easier for you to believe in God than when you're in pleasure? Oh yeah. When you're in pleasure, you stay far away from God sometimes. But what draws you back to God? Pain. Pain will get you to a prayer meeting, won't it? So although it was urgent in Mary and Martha's eyes, it wasn't urgent in Jesus' eyes, because he had a greater thing to perform than just a mere healing. He wanted to build their faith. Not just their faith in a man who can perform miracles, but Jesus' goal was to build their faith in the man who was God. But what God requires from you and what God requires from me, dear friends, is the faith that is willing to hold on, that is willing to be determined regardless of our circumstances. Look at verses 20 to 22 of John 11 as we prepare to close here this morning. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed where? At home. Why was Mary at home? Because Mary was with the mourners. If someone died in your family and friends would come and stay for 7 days and hang out with you. So she was there still mourning. It says, as we read on, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, because she went out to meet Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." How many times have we said that to God? "God, if you had only intervened when I asked you to, I would not be in this situation that I'm in right now." And she wasn't complaining. "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's faith. It's easier to say that once the event has passed, right? "Well, Lord, if you had been here, you know, I knew you could have done this." But then Martha shocks everybody. Look at verse 22. "But I know that even now, even though Lazarus has been dead for 4 days and his body has started to smell, even now I know that whatever you ask God to do, he can do." What? Are you serious? He's dead. You missed your window of opportunity, Jesus. But wait a minute. "But even now." You know, we give Martha a hard time. We applaud Mary because, you know, Mary was at Jesus' feet. We applaud Mary, but Martha didn't do the greatest thing because she was busy running around taking care of the house. But this time, Mary's mourning, but Martha's telling Jesus, "I know you weren't here when we wanted you to, but even now, where we are in this hopeless situation, I know you can still do it." What kind of faith is that? You see, Martha got it right. With Jesus, death is never the end. Whether it's literal death, or whether it's death as a metaphor in your life. And I applaud Martha for possessing a correct theology when it comes to this thing of prayer and approaching God. And here's the point I don't want you to miss today. Martha never asked Jesus to heal Lazarus or to raise him from the dead. It doesn't say that, does it? As a matter of fact, if you read the early part of the chapter, they never even asked Jesus to come. All they did was say, "This is where we are even now." And there are too many people out there with a false theology that think the only time God will answer a prayer is if you literally pray it. And every time I go into the bookstore and I go into the prayer section, I see a new book on prayer, the 1-2-3s of prayer, which is right beside the ABCs of prayer, which is right beside getting what you want from God, which is right beside telling God he better do what you ask him to do. All these things, we get this idea that we demand. I heard somebody say, "Well, God, I demand that you do this." God answers prayers that you and I never ask. If we only got what we asked, we would have very little. They never asked Jesus to come, but he came. They never asked Jesus to intervene, but he did. All Martha said was, I know that you can even now. Some of you here today, you have experienced a manufactured delay by God. Situations in your life is appearing very hopeless right now. And you've prayed like many of us have, God, if you had only done what I asked you to do. When I asked you to do it, I was counting on this, God. Come on, man. I don't ask very much from you. At least let me have this now. But many of us need the Martha faith, which says, even though I missed this window of opportunity, even now I believe you can do it if you choose to do it. But God will only do it if it's going to be for our eternal good. And because we don't know God's mind, our job is simply to hold on to God's hand. Who says amen today? Sometimes God intervenes when we don't ask. Other times God doesn't intervene when we do ask. When John the Baptist was in prison, he sent word to Jesus, hey man, what's going on? I hear you're doing a lot of healing out there, and you're doing, you know, you're raising people from the dead, you're giving sight to the blind. In other words, John was saying, what about me, Jesus? Sometimes many of us feel like John the Baptist. What about me, Jesus? You're doing all this other stuff for other people. What about me? And Paul says, the mind of God is like a mystery that's hidden. We never know why God does what he does. Well, then why pray, Pastor? Because prayer is not about just getting what you want. As I tell my students at the university with this class I teach on prayer, prayer is about maintaining and establishing relationship with God. In the midst of that, you can give your request, but that's not what it's all about. But what is needed by God's people today is this even now faith. That when God doesn't respond to my cry the way I feel that he should, I should be able to say, but even now I know that if you chose to, you could. But because you didn't and you don't, it's because your mind is bigger than mine. You're the sovereign God. And where I can't see your hand, I've got to trust your heart. Oh, Pastor, that's not feel good. That doesn't make me want to dance a jig when I go out of church today. That's the problem. Too many of us are just getting food that just makes us want to dance a jig. And then when a hard time comes, you go, what happened? I want an even now faith. That when I can't see what God is doing, I have to say to him, even now, I know you can, but if you don't, it's because you've got something bigger and better. Even now.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Even Now. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
The only reason you and I pray is because we believe, number one, that God exists. But secondly, we also believe that God will respond to my cries. Have you ever cried out to God?
Next week, we hope you can listen in again as Charles Tapp begins a brand new series of messages titled The Prayers of Jesus, A Window into the Heart of God, with part one, Wise in Their Own Eyes. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Your gift reminds someone facing uncertainty that God is with them every step of the way.
I actually just got laid off, so I've just been making it a thing to listen on the way to work in the morning and don't let myself get down. It's been really helpful the past couple days.
When you make a gift of $250 or more, you not only jump in early with the WGTS year-end fundraiser,
you activate a separate gift, providing 10 meals for local families in need this holiday season.
Give today at WGTS919.com.